Heavenly Father, here we are again before you today. We're looking for more of the bread of life, for more of the water of life, because there's nothing in this world that can possibly satisfy us. And Lord, as the days go by, we become increasingly distracted, and the enemy isn't asleep, and he keeps us discouraged, keeps us in a state where we're not sure sometimes even who we are. But we thank you that you've given us your word, and your word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. And we pray that as we study it, so it will shine upon our hearts and souls. And as it displays again what the Lord Jesus did for us, so our hearts will be encouraged and we will be lifted up to new heights because of Jesus and what he's done for us. So please bless us these moments that we are together and be with us in our fellowship. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we are in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 is dealing with some of the difficulties or objections that people may raise against Paul, the great apostle Paul's teaching. Remember, Paul was a teacher and a preacher, and he moved around the world. Now, of course, you must remember, Paul was a Jew. That's who he was. Ethnically, he was a Jew. But he became a believer in Jesus, and his message was for Jews and Gentiles. So he went around the Mediterranean areas, and he went into the different cities, and he went into the different countries. And they always went first to the synagogues or into public places where they used to have public debates, because that was a big thing in some of the communities that had a Greek influence. They had public debates and so on, because the Greeks were hot on philosophy and ideas and talking things over and things like that. Now, Paul would engage in that. He would talk about Christ, and people would answer back to him, and they would raise questions and so on. That's the way it was in those days. Sometimes, especially in the synagogues, they would raise rioting mobs against him, because what Paul did undermined the whole system of the Jewish way of salvation as it was practiced in Paul's day. It's never meant to be practiced that way, but that's the way it was practiced. And that if you do this and that, you keep these commands that the Jews had worked out for their society, if you kept them all, then you could expect to get to heaven. Which is no wonder why Jesus said to the Jewish people, if you are weary and heavy laden. See, he didn't mean, are you weary and heavy laden with life's burdens, but with religious burdens. If you are weary and heavy laden, you come to me and I will give you rest, said the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people may have said to Paul, well, if you say that salvation is free for us, then what does that mean for us as we live? If salvation is so free and God gives us free forgiveness, then we don't have to worry about how we live. We can live as we please. All we have to do is go to God and ask for forgiveness and we'll be forgiven. And Paul says to them in chapter 6 and in verse 2, by no means. That was a very definite statement in the Greek. It was Paul underlining the word no. That's not the way we think as Christians. And that's not the outcome of the salvation that we enjoy. If you meet someone who says to you that they're Christians, but they're living as if they're not Christians, then they're not Christians. And you must call them out on that. So that is not the way it works, because when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes into us, the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God comes into us, divine power comes into us through the Holy Spirit. And he brings holiness. The Holy Spirit brings holiness. Evil spirits bring evil. Dark spirits bring darkness. The Holy Spirit brings holiness into us. And our natural tendency will want to be as right with God as is possible to be, which does not mean that we'll always be successful, or that we are very pious people, or that we go around with a certain kind of pious look on our face and we out of touch with the people around us. That's not what true piety is. No. When the Holy Spirit is within us, Christ is within us, our Father is there with us. We become real human beings for the first time when we become Christians. Well, it's not that we're not real human beings before that, but we're achieving a potential when we become Christians, where we can see life in a different way, where we see people in a different way. And where our longings and our desires are for good things, not for bad things, although we may occasionally slip into bad things and do bad things, because we're not yet perfect. We'll only be perfect when we get into heaven. And so we've got this struggle. That's why we struggle as Christians, because We know we oughtn't to be the way we are, but sometimes we are just like that. We say things we shouldn't say, then we can just knock ourselves on the head for it afterwards. We're so sorry, but what can we do? We've said it. And so we do have these struggles in life, but nevertheless, the trajectory of our lives is going upwards all the time, moving upwards, further and further toward Almighty God and His great abode of light. We are going to read now from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 23. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? That's by no means, he says again. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone, you obey him as slaves? You are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural souls. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. And what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Paul has now explained the way of salvation to us, and he's recognizing that many of the people he's listening to, all this would have been very strange to them, and they would have had a lot of questions and so on. And the great struggle between the world and the life of holiness would be brought home to them with great force, because if they've been crucified with Christ and such a great salvation has been offered to them, they've never heard of anything like this. What happens to the society they live in? Remember, it was not a society ordered like the one you're living in now. There weren't churches in every corner. There was no technology where you could just get into a podcast or to a sermon somewhere and pick up and have your Bibles in your pockets and things like that. There was nothing. The people who came to listen to the Apostle Paul were largely slaves. Most of the early converts of first century church were mostly slaves, not only, but mostly slaves. So they would have had masters. They would have had people calling the shots. Some of them would have had very bad slavery lives, and others would have had better slavery lives. Very often a master in old Roman society would adopt a slave and make him the heir of his whole estate if he didn't have a son of his own. So there was a whole different kind of life that the Apostle Paul was addressing when he was talking to slaves and to the new converts. Many of them were people who came from the temples of the various pagan gods, which engaged in temple prostitution. And many of these people would have heard the gospel, got converted. You can read about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul mentions them and says, some were as you were. You're not like that anymore. You've been changed. The Lord Jesus Christ has come and He has changed you. And when He changes you, He begins to change your world. So when you come and ask me, can we still then do the things we used to do and still be Christians? The answer is no way, by no means. No, he says. You can't do that, because effectively what happened to you, although you can't explain it, you can't design it, you couldn't think of it yourself. But what happened to you was, when you became a Christian, do you know that spiritually speaking, you died? You identified with Christ on the cross. And then when Christ rose again, you have risen to new life through the Holy Spirit within you and the new life that He gives you. However, all that being said, the fact of the matter is we've got to remember that we are still living in a world that is full of sin and we still have the remnants of sin in us. So how do we cope with our lives in this world? And the first idea that the apostle presents to us is in verses 12 and 13, where he says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God and those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What Paul is saying is that we are like liberated soldiers. Now, before we were Christians, we were enslaved to one great master, and that was the devil. Now, the devil may have used the Caesars, the devil may have used our masters and they're in the Roman Senate or the Roman society, the devil may have used Roman generals to conquer our towns and take us as slaves, the devil may have used all kinds of things to exercise his control over us and draw us into the world of darkness and the world of sin. In those days, before you were a Christian, you belonged to that master. And that master kept you in chains until you met the greater master, the true master, and he rescued you. And now you become liberated soldiers, but you are still soldiers. You are still people who are in a battle. You are still in a struggle, and you still got to wage a warfare while we are in this world. So sin is like a warlord who wants us in his service. And we used to be in sin's service before we became Christians. But then we died. We died with the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And we became alive again to a new life because of his resurrection power. We were brought from death to life. It says, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. You see, that's what's happened to us. We've been brought from death to life. And so we're no longer what we used to be. Now, all of us have got several things that we can offer to a master who owns us, or to a warlord who owns us, or to a slave master who owns us if we are slaves to anybody. We've got arms. We can do things for that master. We've got legs. We can go to places for that master. We've got a mouth. We can say things for that master. We have a sexuality. We can use it wrongly for that master. We've got creativity because we've been created in God's image. We can create things for that master. We've got different capacities. We're all different people with different gifts. And all of these are at our command and we can put them to the service of whoever we want to. And if we belong to the devil, we can offer our full capacities, our intellect and everything, our personalities, our charm, everything, we can offer it to the devil. We could do that. We can enlist them with sin and then be weapons of unrighteousness. So you meet lots of people today, charming people, nice people, and you discover at the end they're con artists and they lead you astray and they've got psychotic problems. And there, how many girls haven't you heard of who've hooked up with guys who seem to be so nice, only in the end for them to turn out to be narcissists and other people who destroy and control the families that God gives to them. And so we've got all these capacities we have. We can give it to the devil and he can use it for destruction. He can use it for his purposes. Or we can take ourselves and we can enlist all of our gifts and capacities and all the gifts God has given us. We can offer them to God and who is our commander in chief. And we can say to him, all we are and all we have, we offer to you. And all we are then, and everything we've got, our hands, our feet, our legs, our eyes, our tongues, our mouths, everything about us that I've just mentioned, all become weapons again. This time it becomes weapons for righteousness. So instead of using the mouth for bitterness, we use the mouth to tell the truth. Instead of using hands to hurt, we use hands to heal, you see? And so we become new people. That's what Paul is saying. You were slaves. Do you not understand that, you people in Rome? You used to belong to a master who was cruel and dark and used you for his own evil purposes, but when you became a Christian, you changed masters. And the new master uses you differently. He uses your feet to carry out tasks of love and service, not to do mischief. He helps you to discipline your mind so you can think for God and you can be creative and you can serve the kingdom. He helps you to cast out all of the bitterness that you've been holding in your heart and that only brings you to destruction. And he heals your body and soul. and all of the abilities that you have inside of you so that you can use it for good. And so every part of you, your hands can build things for God, can heal people and help people, and not to just grab, destroy and hinder people as it was when you were not a Christian. So you see, every part of you now becomes the slave of a new master. And that's what Paul is saying in these verses in Romans chapter 6. He's saying to us, you've got to be aware of the fact that you've now become a new master. And you're a Christian soldier now. You were a soldier of darkness, but now you're a Christian soldier. As a Christian soldier, you do not play around with sin, and you do not mess around with evil, and you don't go as close to the world as you can without falling into it. No, you steer clear of it. You try to be as clear-cut a Christian as you can under the circumstances in which you live. We know it's very hard for some people, but we're not in any way denying that. But the one thing that you know above everything else, you, I, all of us who are Christians, we know this, that we have died. We're not the people we used to be. We don't want to be those people anymore. We don't want to be like that anymore. We have died. We've got something new in us that is pushing us onto something greater and better. And that's what we want to be. So we will not let sin be our master. We'll struggle against it, because when sin stares us in the face, we're looking behind sin, and there in the distance, we can see the celestial city glowing in the darkness. That's where we are going. We are going to heaven. We're going to a new place. We don't want to be part of the old world anymore. We've been liberated by God for a new, exciting life that we'll live for Him. Not an easy life. Sometimes it can be very disappointing. Sometimes it can be a struggle. But we will live for Him until He takes us home to His own world. So now the next thing then I want to point out to you is this. If all this is true, then we've got to remember that we Christians are called to be slaves. The title is called Got to Serve Somebody. And that is the title of a song that was written by Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan, for a brief while, became a Christian, and during that time he wrote quite a number of Christian songs, and even though he's backslidden from being a Christian, some of those songs have got important things to say. One of them is this one, which says, you've got to serve somebody, maybe the devil or maybe the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. In other words, what Bob Dylan was reminding his listeners, is true for all of us, is that in our world today, you don't get to be free like everybody says you do. Hey, I'm free, you know. Somebody jumps off a cliff into the sea and says, ooh, I'm free. You're not free. You're a slave of the law of gravity. If the water had to disappear and the rocks appeared, you soon discover you're not free. You know, we're not free. We're always somebody's servant, somebody's slave. When do you think we're free? And so the great question is, who is your master? Do you feel you've been called to serve? So Paul says in chapter 6 and verses 15 through to 19, he says this. What then? Shall we sin because we are under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and you've been set free from sin, and they become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms, he says, because you are weak in your natural selves. So just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity, to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. So what Paul is saying is this. It doesn't matter where you may be in life. At this point in time, you are a slave. You may not realize it. You may not think of yourself like that. But you and I are slaves. We're either slaves to the devil and the forces of evil out there in the world, although we ourselves may not be as evil as some people are, or we are slaves to God. Those are the choices the Apostle Paul says. And you have made the choice. You have made the choice to offer yourselves as slaves to God. We're no longer slaves to lawlessness, but rather we are slaves to righteousness, which leads to sanctification and to right living. And so the Apostle Paul makes the point that we've all got to realize that we are still slaves. Doesn't matter how we may feel about ourselves or what we hear about things out there in the world, all the talk about freedom and all the rest of it, and we've got to be free, yay, 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 and all that sort of stuff. Doesn't matter what you hear about it. No one's free. We are all slaves. Either slaves to Christ or we're slaves to the devil. And then the next thing I want to point out to this is to ask you a question. What do you think your master wants from you if you serve him? If we are master of the devil, what does he want? If we are master of darkness, what does he want? If we are master of God, what does he want? Well, the apostle tells us in verse 19, he says, I put this in human terms, because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. You see that? When you belong to the King of Darkness, he leads you into impurity, to immorality, to the things of the world that in the end bring death with them. When you are in slavery to the King of Righteousness and the King of Light, what does he do for you? Well, he leads you in a different direction entirely. What he leads you to is holiness, and he leads you to eternal life. He leads you to righteousness, and he leads you away from the things that you used to be ashamed of. So we Christians, when somebody says to us, but if forgiveness is so easy and so free, well, I'll become a Christian because I can still be the way I used to be. We say, no, you can't. Because if you think like that, you haven't had a change of mind yet, and you're still a slave to darkness and sin. If you think like that, it shows you haven't seen the issues for what they are. And so that brings us to the last point, and it's this. What wages do you think the two different masters pay? And Paul tells us in verse 23, he says, the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, when we read that verse, which we've known since we were children, we think in terms of eternal death and hell, or we think in terms of heaven. But I want to tell you it's a bit wider than that. If you follow the way of the world, your whole life is always tainted with what we call death. You just think of the people that you know, the brothers, the sisters, the uncles, the aunts, the friends, the relatives you've had, who have gone the way of the world. Think of their marriages. Think of their relationships. Think of how they speak to each other. Think of what they do and how they live their lives. Everything has got the smell of death upon it. You say to yourself, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. I don't want my children to be like that. I don't want to be like that. I don't want that kind of value system in my life at all. Because the value system of the world always have got the smell of spiritual death upon them. You know, you look at the TV today and you see the great adverts coming up for the new betting industry that has arisen in South Africa. And everybody's smiling, and they're also beautiful, and they're all dressed in gold, and everybody's happy because they've just won something at the table. And they want you to think that you can win too if you go their way. That you can't, because you know as well as I do what devastation follows gambling. But the lies that they tell you on TV, you will be a winner, and you won't. Rather, you will increase from death to death, from death to death, from death to death, until everything about you is destroyed. Everything about you is destroyed. So sin pays you in death. Sin promises you everything, delivers nothing. And what sin does is this, what the world of darkness does is this. It uses all kinds of different sins to lure us to our deaths. You see, what the devil wants is the destruction of human beings. Ever thought of that? What did God do when he created the world? He just spoke a word, and this immense creation in which we live came into being. And then he put onto this world, onto this little planet of ours, this tiny little planet in this great, great universe, he put Adam and Eve, he created a man and a woman. And what did he do that made that man and that woman special? He created them in his own image. Do you know there's not an angel in heaven that's created in the image of God? Only human beings are. You, me, we are created in the image of God. Only we are in some way like him. He has placed his mark upon human beings. And when the devil appeared on the scene, what do you think he wanted to do? He wanted to destroy that. He wanted to destroy that because it's the master creation of the person he hates the most. So what's the first sin after the Garden of Eden? In Genesis 4, it's the sin of murder. Cain and Abel. And Cain kills Abel. Murder. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 8? He was a murderer from the beginning, speaking about the devil. And so when you see people hitting each other, when you see people throwing stones, when you see people whipping out guns, the taxi ranks and things like that, what you are seeing is the fulfillment of the devil's wish for mankind. Kill them all. Destroy them all. I'll make them my slaves and destroy them all. Destruction is the devil's aim. But it's not like that with God. Because when you give your life to the Lord Jesus, when you are crucified with him on the cross and you rise again from the dead, he pays us. He's our new master. How does he pay us? He pays us not in death, but in life. And what kind of life is it? It's not just physical life on the earth. It is eternal life. It's eternal life. I give those who believe in me eternal life, abundant life. And so the wages of the one master is death, and the wages of the other master is life. And it's a free gift. It's a free gift. It's not really wages in the sense that we earn it, because we can't earn it. But it's an analogy of what our master does for us, how he benefits us, how he rewards us, how he loves us, how he bestows the very best he can upon us. It was all earned for us by the Lord Jesus, by his life and his suffering, his death and his resurrection. And he gives all of that to us. He says, you come to me and I will give you life. If you're weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. If you drink of my water, you'll never thirst again. And so from him we receive the gift of eternal life to all who put their faith and their trust in him. So what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 6 then is very simple. You can't become a Christian and continue sinning. Because even though you are a Christian, you're still a slave. You used to be a slave of the devil and the powers of darkness. Now you are a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a slave of your God and Father in heaven. If you want to be a slave of the devil, then don't say you are following Christ. Go and do what you want to do out there. And you'll soon discover that your master of darkness will pay you your wages in death. But if you become a Christian, you'll soon discover that your master in heaven pays you with life and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. See? So if you are Christians, dear friends, there's no such thing as messing around. That's why I often wonder about these people who say they are Christians, but they're moving with their boyfriends and girlfriends. They live contrary to the revealed will of God. And they live contrary to the way God has ordained that the world he created should live. And they say, well, we Christians too, you know. I say to myself, that how can you be if you're not obeying the word of your master? Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the great joy of having this message of salvation. It's not always easy to proclaim or describe, Heavenly Father. And we depend on you to give us light, to give us ears to hear, and a mind to understand. And we ask you to help us to be people who will determine in our hearts to live in the light, and to be true to you in all ways and in all things. And send us away with that determination in our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen.